SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We welcome you to hour number three, our third and final here on this Thursday, live on the early line on Sports Grid. He is Donnie. I am Ben. There is so much to get into in this third and final hour. We'll talk a little bit of action around the NBA, sure, but we have Thursday night football kicking off week 16 tonight in Los Angeles, an AFC West divisional duel with no implications on the divisional race. The Chiefs have already won the division for a ninth consecutive year. But huge playoff implications between two AFC wildcard teams, and we try to find you some winning wagers on this short week Thursday night game. DRS, so much still left in store over this final hour.
Absolutely. Bringing the heat here, closing it down in style, because it feels like tomorrow is the official start of the holiday season for us with how much good football we have over the weekend to come up. And then a lot of people taking some days off next week, rightfully so, to recharge. Then the following week, you got New Year. So it's a great time coming up. A lot of bowl games. If you're interested in that, my dream would be in 2 years, we never talk bowl games again because we've got a 32-team playoff, and hopefully we'll get there at that point. But this is a great time with a good football game tonight, and it's time to get down to business.
Listen, I've made one bowl bet so far this season. I try to read into the tea leaves and those early lines when we had the bowl designations on that selection Sunday when the college football playoff was determined as well. So far, one for one. James Madison playing 6.5 last night in the Boca Raton Bowl. Line closed at 7.5 in favor of the Dukes. Bob Chesney and JMU, a football school in thanks in part to Kurt Cignetti as well, who will try to lead Indiana to an upset in the first ever 12-team college football playoff game tomorrow night on a Friday. Before we get to any that we have in the college ranks, DRS, let's talk NFL football. The start of week 16 tonight inside SoFi Stadium in LA. Huge game for the AFC wildcard chase. Spots and seeds on the line tonight and at stake between the Chargers and the Broncos. So what is the best bet in Los Angeles? We find out with all of you, from all of you, in Fade the Public. Donnie, you had your eyes on this poll almost as it came out immediately. The first four votes where each option got one vote. It was a dead heat. It's still pretty tight entering the start of week 16 tonight. What is the best bet for Thursday night football? At Sports Grid on Twitter, the Chargers as a 2.5-point home favorite. The Broncos getting a few points on the road as the dog. Over 41.5 or under that number. The Broncos as the dog, the most selected option. Second most selected, the under. The Chargers as the slight favorite under a field goal, not far behind. I think, Donnie, in terms of fading the public, the one thing we can all agree on, going over 41.5 seems unlikely tonight in L.A.
No, it does, and that's a problem because the public would normally just click on over whatever the price is because typically we're rooting on and most of your bets are trending towards the over. So the fact that only 15.9% of the total bets came in on the over, that's a tough spot here. I do agree with the under, which I voted for as my best bet of the night, 41.5 to the under, which around 29% of the people did. But then you take a look at the game itself, we don't have a large discrepancy. It's under 10% here between the Broncos and the Chargers. I do think it's interesting that a lot of people did take the Chargers at +2.5, saying, forget about a Thursday night football game on the road. We'll just take them. They're playing better football, theoretically, than the Chargers are right now. So pretty even across the board. But I always look at that over-under and say, wow, the people overwhelmingly are choosing the under as opposed to the over, and they could be right tonight.
I think they are right. I think the game script is correct. The flow of how everything will play out this late in a season in a week 16 game that will have a playoff atmosphere between two of the three best scoring defenses in the National Football League, tied at the top in terms of points allowed on average this year alongside Philadelphia. But Donnie, to see that much of the public on the under, I think we might get 42 plus points tonight. I think I might be becoming, I can already guarantee you, what one of your co-hosts on NFL Football In-Game Live Game Day is going to be thinking tonight. Joe Lisi loves the over. He's altered it up to 49.5 already.
All right, let's transport to the set tonight. Joe, what do you think is going to be the key to this game tonight? How do you think it plays out? Josh Palmer, way over his numbers. Joe, do you think he can get 40? I got him at 80. Can he get over 80? Oh, Joe, he just got 80. Can he get over 95.5 now? Josh Palmer. I'm going to hear a lot of that tonight on the set. Yep, absolutely.
You know your friends well, DRS. You know your co-hosts well, because that is spot on. If I had to pick a Lisi player tonight, it's Josh Palmer. If I had to pick a Lisi bet, it is over 41.5, but not just 42 and being happy with it. In a six-leg parlay somewhere, it's over 48.5 to cash him out a very big number. DRS, did you vote for the under, by the way, in the Fade the Public poll? Did that get your direction?
Yeah. I did. Under 41.5 was my shot there. So right around being the tops, along with the Broncos getting 2.5, which if I had to pick a side, usually I would lean towards the Chargers. But I do think right now in better form are the Denver Broncos. So it makes it tough. So I'm going to abstain from the side itself. I just feel more confident. Look, can the game go? Of course it can. It's 41.5 points. But as you pointed out, the game script doesn't have me saying to myself, it's going to be up-tempo, no huddle, like somebody on the panel will probably tell me it's going to be like that tonight. We'll find out if it works or not.
Again, DRS, Denver started off this year with not much expectation. Yeah. Second year for Sean Payton, still in the rebuilding effort at Mile High with a rookie quarterback in Bo Nix. I believe the preseason win total was only 5.5, but I also think I might be thinking of last year. I'm not entirely sure. Regardless, it wasn't overly optimistic for this Denver team to be a playoff team or firmly into that wild card race at this stage of the season. The reason I reference that is because the Broncos were booked as an underdog. It was 5.5. Good job, Ben. Good memory on you. Listen, the Broncos were booked as an underdog in their opening four games of this year. They were 3-1 against the spread. They had won outright twice in those opening four games. They've only been a dog three times since, and they have not been a dog since a road trip to Arrowhead, catching nearly a touchdown against the Chiefs, where somehow they lost that game because of the field goal block from Leo Chanel and that Chiefs special teams unit. But that was actually the one only time they have covered as a dog since their illustrious start to the year as an underdog. Again, we have shared the Broncos have been an elite favorite this season. A perfect 7-0 against the number, covering by an average margin of nearly 13 points per game. The Chargers have also been a good favorite, 7-2 against the spread, but the only cover, DRS, for LA as a favorite against a team currently with a winning record was against these Broncos at Mile High back in week number 6. They were a 2.5-point favorite. They won that game 23-16. Total stayed under. LA to start this year, dead under team. 7 of their first 8 games, over in 4 of their recent 6, where we have seen some scoring and even one of that best scoring defenses in LA start to allow more and more points.
Yeah, Denver's been good the past 4 games here with scoring points. And you take a look at the last game that we just saw for the Chargers, and that game was at home, and Baker Mayfield came in and absolutely tore the building apart. Bucky Irving went over 100 yards. You just don't have that Bucky Irving type of player that you think is going to do damage from either side tonight. Yeah. So we'll be leaning on the quarterbacks to sort of throw those air yards as opposed to the 7-yard slant that turns into a 27-yard gain. Ladd McConkey, I do think, has a chance to do damage. The same thing that we talk about from Courtland Sutton from a Denver Broncos side of things. Those are the players that you're probably going to want to look forward to and say, you know what? I can probably hang my hat. They're going to get the targets, the yardage, and maybe the scoring. But just the question is, how much scoring are we actually going to get in this game? I don't think enough to get into the mid-40s.
Plenty more prop previews later on in this third hour. NBA cap next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
NBA handicaps around the association after a full night off for everybody in the NBA. Following an NBA Cup championship for the Milwaukee Bucks on Tuesday night in Las Vegas, back to regularly scheduled regular season action here around the NBA. DRS, so much conversation in the association right now, not about the actual games or the sport, but television ratings. How do you fix the NBA? Where is LeBron? What do we make of this season so far for the association, where if you're not the biggest NBA fan from the jump, you really start to tune in just a little bit more with Christmas less than a week away?
Yeah, exactly. It used to be like, hey, Christmas is the start of the NBA season. Now the NFL goes like, no, you got to push that back till well after the new year, because Christmas now is our day in the NFL. It's just a tough look, and it's no surprise that ratings are down because the NBA did it to himself. But I say it all, sometimes you could just see a sport that's careening off the pass, like there's no stopping it. It's just going to be a bad product. The NBA has so many simple ways that they can fix their game, which just would include the owner saying, hey, guys, you're multi-billionaires already. Don't rent out your arena every single night of the year. Let's not have back-to-backs. Let's shorten the season a little bit more. Let's start it a little bit later in the year. Problem solved. Superstars play. People love superstars. People like to bet superstars. We don't want to know up until game time whether or not a star is going to play in a game and be surprised when he doesn't play, because that turns people off. Going, hey, big game next week between the Golden State Warriors and the Chicago Bulls or whatever. I'm like, oh, well, Steph's going to sit this one out. Draymond's out. And no Zach LaVine on the other side. Like, nobody wants to watch that. We want to watch great players. Same thing, Ben, when you come up on week 18 in professional football, right? Week 18, half the teams aren't playing for anything. Half the teams want to get a better draft pick. It's horrible football outside of two games. It never should be like that. It feels like every night in the NBA is every game is horrible outside of one or two games.
So for you, it's not the volume of threes being shot on a nightly basis.
Not at all.
It's the
love
players
threes
that might be out there.
Yeah.
I agree. I think it's actually a really good take. Well done, right side. Well done. 13 games tonight, maybe to bring that interest back into the NBA. And we can always find some winning wagers with your two premier NBA handicappers here on the Spiz Grizz Network. Let's go to a great marquee matchup tonight in the Twin Cities in the return of a cat. Of course, Julius Randle against his former team as well. But Carl Anthony Towns heads back to Minneapolis to take on his former club for the first time in the T-Wolves. I believe it's the first time. Friezo, please confirm. Minnesota, 2.5-point home favorite against the New York Knicks. It is, in fact, Cat's first matchup against the Knicks. Total stands at 215. Short spread, DRS, in favor of the Timberwolves. What do you make of it?
Yeah, take a look at the line. Dude, 212.5 was the opening number here in New Jersey. FanDuel is the total. That now bumps up to 215 at most outlets out here. The number opened up at -1.5 as a favorite from the Timberwolves. Now up to 2.5, and I agree with that as well. A couple nights off in the NBA, because what are we usually worried about in the association, as we say? Star players sitting out. Nobody's going to sit out in this game. You had a couple days off, which included maybe some of these guys got away from basketball, rested their legs. So I'm going to lean on the over now, which is elevated, as we told you, from 212.5 to 215. I think it goes over, and I'll take the home team here in the Minnesota Timberwolves. I'll lay the 2.5, but a stronger play for me probably between the side and the total, it's probably the over in the game. You should be rested. Everybody's on deck and away you go.
DRS, when you look at the New York Knicks and the Minnesota Timberwolves, you would automatically think, well, defense, that's Thibs basketball, and Minnesota, most efficient defense around the NBA a year ago. I'm not entirely sure, and I would agree with you. Just the third game for the Knickerbockers as an underdog this year. New York has the third best record in the Eastern Conference, 16-10 straight up. Minnesota was slow to start. They've been playing better as of late, 14-11 for a team that played in the Western Conference Finals a season ago. But as a favorite, Donnie, in those 25 games, 23 times, pretty much the entirety of their year, the Timberwolves have not been a great cover team, just 10-13 against the spread. There was a couple of years within the Western Conference where the young upstart Memphis Grizzlies and a team that perennially won the West, the Golden State Warriors, had a little bit of a budding rivalry going. Maybe not so much anymore, but they do play tonight in Memphis with the Grizz as a 2.5-point home favorite. Total 236.5 and on its way up. What's the play in the Grind City?
Yeah, usually I lean towards the home team in these spots, but we do have a high total, which means we're expected points. Look at the starting lineup here. Maybe some changes for the Golden State Warriors. Steph Curry, Dennis Schroeder, how about that? Coming over now as another point guard slash shooting guard here for the Warriors. You take a look at Wiggins, Kuminga, and Looney in the starting lineup. Off the bench, Buddy Hield, you know you like him, but how about Draymond Green expected to come off the bench tonight? How about this, BSS? Give me the +2.5 with the Golden State Warriors and a deeper Golden State Warriors, even though John Morant, Desmond Bain, both healthy and back for Memphis down in the grindhouse tonight. I'll take the Warriors.
Yeah, love the look, DRS. Golden State this year, not an underdog all that often, actually double-digit times. 8-3 against the spread for the Dubs as a dog this year. They have been great. Love Buddy Hield tonight, minus 125 to bury three triples. He has done that in three consecutive games, and the total 236.5. We expect some offense. The Dallas Mavericks, last year's Western Conference champs, also off to a slow start, but playing a lot better basketball as of late. 4.5-point favorite against the Clippers at home tonight in Big D. Total 223 and a hook. Clippers, Mavs, what do we like?
Yeah, taking a look there. James Harden, Chris Dunn, Norm Powell, Derek Jones Jr., and Ivica Zubac. You know where I'm going in this game. Forget about the side. Yep. Forget about the total. You know my guy. It's Norm Powell. Do you know the last time he played? December 16th, Ben. Seven triples he attempted. Splashed five of those down. Norm Powell, three-point shots to the over. Always one of my favorite plays. That's my guy. I feel like I backed Norm Powell more than any other player in the NBA in three-point props this season. Love my guy.
The Mavericks got off to a 5-7 start. They have won 12 of their last 14, and they have covered in all 12, or excuse me, 11 of those 12 victories. But I like where you're looking at your guy, Norm Powell. Truly Donnie's guy. TEL always needs a guy. If I can hop on Norman Powell bandwagon with you, DRS, I would love to be there. Let's go to Orlando. The Magic playing host quickly to the Oklahoma City Thunder. 6.5-point spread in favor of OKC. Can they bounce back from a bad performance in Las Vegas in the NBA Cup?
Yeah, you go from Vegas to Orlando here, and I think they're also going to be coming up on some back-to-backs here, but that line opened up at -4 towards Oklahoma City, now up to 6.5. I'm going to go against that here. I'll take the new number at 6.5 with the hometown Magic squad here and off of that Thunder. Like, we didn't play all that well, scored 81 points. They'll have a better effort. I don't know if they get the cover, though. Give me the Magic.
212.5 is that total. Oh. We'll take a look at Saturday's slate in the NFL next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A Saturday doubleheader in the National Football League. Again, what a football day you have in store on Saturday. If you just like the sport, you're a fan of sports in general, you don't really need to choose between college football and the NFL. If you're a CFP purist, maybe you're upset the NFL is encroaching on the first ever triple header day of the 12-team college football playoff era. But maybe you're just like, hey, it's a Saturday around the holidays. I've got nothing going on. It's freezing outside. I'm going to sit my behind on a couch all day and watch so much football and make some winning bets as well. It starts at noon Eastern time in State College with our first of three CFP games between Penn State and SMU. Then we go quickly at 1 p.m. Eastern time, DRS, to Kansas City, where the Chiefs will host the Houston Texans. And the question still remains, I guess, will it be Patrick Mahomes or Carson Wentz for a pivotal Week 16 game between KC and Houston? Now, the Texans can improve their seeding, I guess, within the AFC playoff picture. But Houston seems right now pretty firmly into the four spot as Houston has clinched a second consecutive AFC South championship last week with a win against Miami off the bye and a Colts loss in Denver. The Chiefs, DRS, need to win two of their final three to hold on to that one seed within the AFC. So, helping them do so, who is starting at quarterback on Saturday? Patrick Mahomes or Carson Wentz?
Oh, it's going to be Patrick Mahomes. If Mahomes didn't play this week, then they might have been saying to themselves, you know, this is a true high ankle sprain. It hurts him. We really need the guy, but let's skip this game at home because we're going to need him more healthy for that Christmas Day game, which you're going to play at Pittsburgh. Doesn't look like that's the case here. Looks like he's healthy enough to go. But also, there is chance for re-injury here, Ben. There's a chance that this, you know, ankle never heals up appropriately over the next 3 weeks that they're going to play. And also, you are not playing in Kansas City in September on nice, soft surfaces here at 80 degrees, and you can get real loose and limber. You're talking about, once again, sub-freezing conditions in Kansas City where you know if you're in the pocket, you better protect them. And those two tackles haven't done that good a job this year in protecting protecting him where he's going to be on an island. And the question always is, not for the football player, can he hurt himself? It's, can he protect himself? He said, well, what do you mean a quarterback protecting himself? Well, if you can't get in and out of the pocket and slide one way or another to avoid the pass rush, you can get not only an ankle injury, a knee injury, a hip injury, a back injury, an arm injury just by taking so many shots. That's what I'm going to be watching for this game. So for me, he is going to be playing quarterback. I do think they beat Houston. Now, there is something to be said about this, Ben. Yes, Kansas City, the pressure technically is on them. They have to win to keep that number one seed alive, which I do believe they get. From a Houston perspective, I don't think they're going to be able to move up any more than they already are as a champion of their division, which means they'll get a home playoff game. But we're too far removed from them to be in celebration mode. Let's cruise for the next 3 weeks and then flip the switch once we get into the playoffs. You know they're going to be up for this game at Kansas City, but still a short work week here. For me, it's going to be Kansas City that's going to win this football game, probably in a lower scoring game. But the interesting part is, like, if you're looking from a prop perspective in this game, for me, it's not so much the passing yards of Patrick Mahomes, the quick passes, the Xavier Worthy rocket screens to the outside, Kelce over the middle, reinvigorated now that he knows I got 3 seconds to get open because we can't leave my quarterback in the pocket. Those are the plays I'm looking for, but I do think Kansas City, as long as Mahomes is in, Ben, they win this game.
DRS, there was a part of me that if Carson Wentz was going to start, as Casey was booked as a home dog, where I actually would have been like, ooh, give me the Chiefs outright. Yeah. Total on its way back up to 41 and a hook. I actually think that hook in terms of the spread might be crucial. Houston this year, 9-5 straight up, a favorite in 11 of 14 games, 4-5-2 against the spread. But as a dog with Stroud as the starter, 9-5 against the number. I think it's close and low scoring. Let's get to a huge rivalry renewed in our second NFL game on Saturday in Baltimore. The Ravens, 6.5-point home favorite against the Steelers. 45 and a hook is that total. DRS, how do you see it on Saturday in the Charm City?
How healthy is TJ Watt? How healthy is George Pickens? I'm not even saying that Pittsburgh would even win the game with both of those guys completely healthy, but they can hang around. The MO of these two teams getting after it in cold weather is it's going to be hard hitting, lower scoring, and close to the vest on both sides. But if I'm looking at this game now after what I saw out of Pittsburgh, who had a slugfest against the Philadelphia Eagles when the Ravens had a layup against the Giants, the fresher team coming into this game is the Baltimore Ravens. The healthier team coming into this game is the Baltimore Ravens. 6.5. I think they can win this game by a touchdown. I do.
Yeah, it's interesting, right? This feels like a Pittsburgh line, at least to keep the game within the number. But is that going to be the case? The Steelers 5-1 against the spread as an underdog this year. Tom Vecchio, Prop Perspective, next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Prop Perspective on this Thursday with TV Tom Vecchio of Sports Grid, live right here on the Early Line as we get you set for the start of what?
I was Tom Vecchio of Sports Grid. That was good.
It's what we call him now. Listen, DR.
You're going to hit him with, an older employer? Where's that going there? That was pretty good.
For sure.
Well, like, you never introduced me of Sports Grid.
Never, but hold on. This is crazy because, Tom, obviously we've had our issues and now we're doing it again, starting off a segment, welcoming you on and figuring out the flow at times because you never know when DRS is listening. I have been calling TV Tom Vecchio of Sports Grid for at least the last 2 months when he became an employee of this network, because when he used to be with the FanDuel Sportsbook and would come on the show, we would call him Tom Vecchio on behalf of FanDuel. But then he came to the right side. He's working for the Spiz Grizz, and thus the introduction. But Tom, back me up here. That's been happening for about 2 months.
No way.
I would say longer than 2 months. Yeah, since late August when it became official.
This guy, man. Donnie doesn't know.
Maybe the first week. I don't know about this.
All right. Listen, anyway, Vecchio, We're glad to have you here. I think with that long introduction, we dive right into the game on Thursday night in Los Angeles. It's the Chargers and the Broncos. LA booked as a 2.5-point home favorite. Total stands at 41 and a hook. Vecchio, the odds makers expecting a tight, close, and competitive game with serious playoff implications between two teams that know each other well, but one that is low scoring with a total working its way down to 41 in a hook. What are the numbers telling you for this Thursday night?
They're telling me that we are in for, I want to say, a Thursday night game that we've seen over the past few years, which is a lot of punts, a lot of penalties, a lack of offense overall. Like you said, not just two divisional teams, but two divisional teams with extremely high playoff implications, as you mentioned. And, you know, I'm on the Broncos at +3. I'm on under 42 as where it was earlier in the week. I would not be expecting a lot of offense tonight. I would expect inefficiency overall. I would expect some sacks, some turnovers. I think that's the kind of game that we're in for tonight. We're not in for a game that's going to be ending, I don't know, 34 to 31, as we saw a couple weeks ago with the Lions and the Packers. We are in for a 20-17 kind of game tonight.
How about that? So right around the number, which again, we love points, we love action, we love touchdown passes, we love everything about overs. Justin Herbert and Bo Nix coming into this game, if we're looking at their props tonight from the quarterback numbers, 228.5 for Justin Herbert, 223.5 for Bo Nix, touchdown passes they each throw over 1.5, it is plus money. Is there a chance that the quarterbacks can get going, or is it just too much, Tom? Divisional game, Thursday night, short work week. Like, what are we dealing with tonight?
I think the quarterbacks get going just because both teams are horrible at running the ball. That's really what it comes down to for a lot of this. So I think we will see passing. Since J.K. Dobbins went down for the Chargers, they are absolutely terrible at running the ball. Gus Edwards has done nothing. Kamani Vidal has done nothing. Over the last three games, the Chargers, their pass play percentage was at 55%. It's now up to 65% over the last three games because they have to pass the ball. So I'm looking at Justin Herbert when it comes to over 20.5 completions. And we want to factor in that he's a little bit banged up. Like, he's constantly getting knocked down, the ankle, whatever it is. And because the Broncos are in the top 10 of the league when it comes to QB knockdowns per drop back, blitz percentage, QB hurries, you name it, they're in the top 10 of the league in everything. They also lead the league with 49 sacks. Herbert has to get the ball out quickly. Just like you guys said in the previous segment about Pat Mahomes, Herbert has to go over the completion. So the yards, I don't know what's going to happen with yards, but the completions have to be there for them.
It's a really good point, Vecchio. When you look at this Chargers team that last week was beat bad, Justin Herbert banked up again, and a Bolts offense that was predicated on establishing the run and running that darn pigskin with just 11 carries as a team for 32 total yards. So you shared your quarterback on one side for Justin Herbert. Let's look at the rookie in Bo Nix. It was a Monday night standalone primetime game just a couple of weeks ago, Vecchio. It was all Bo. It was all Courtland Sutton. And both of those predictions came through in a big way. How do you approach the Broncos offense tonight in Los Angeles?
Ultimately, I think Courtland Sutton is obviously the best option. Like I said, I'm not looking at Javonte Williams, Jaleel McLaughlin, Audric Estime coming out of the backfield for the Broncos. Like, they have literally no consistency when it comes to running the ball. We're seeing games where Bo Nix, their quarterback, is leading the team in rushing. So I'm going to go to Bo Nix, kind of the same thing with Herbert, but I just want to go to Bo Nix when it comes to over 33.5 attempts. And again, their pass play percentage has also gone up over the last three games. Again, when we're seeing zero running on both sides of the ball, they're going to have to take their shots downfield. Will the players get their carries at least at some point? Sure, but when you're averaging less than 3 yards per carry for a lot of these running backs, it has to turn to the passing game. And again, this is not like a game that they can just kind of go through the motions. Both teams need to win the ball. So ultimately, Nix and Herbert are their best options because they're not getting anything done on the ground. So can we look to Courtland Sutton? Sure. Can we look to Ladd McConkey? Sure. I think those are the best options. I think if you keep it really, really centered around those players, we're not going to Vele. We're not going to Troy Franklin. Should we get a little bit of Stone Smart because Will Disley is probably going to be out again? Sure. But we want to keep it very centered tonight, not expecting a whole lot of offense or yards overall.
How do we navigate the running backs in this game, Tom? Because I think you, like many other people, are saying, you know what, you can get an absolute bargain, but at the same time, hey, I think Kamani Vidal gets an upgraded over 26.5, which is prop tonight, and then he gets one carry for 3 yards. Like, if there is one running back that you would look at, Tom, either for an anytime touchdown market or just to get some work tonight, who's that going to be from either one of these teams?
It might be Jaleel McLaughlin. I think he might be one of the options I trust the most, just because we saw him have a solid game. That Monday night game against the Browns, he was the option I would consider. I want to go to unders on basically everyone. I will say, just objectively, though, if you pick a player and you were right about them, like if you think that it's going to be Kamani Vidal tonight, he could have a huge game, and then Gus Edwards does nothing. So if you are on the right side of the coin, you have a chance to be really right tonight. He scores, he goes over his prop, he goes, you know, over 26, 28, he hits 40, you could ult him up. You have a chance to be really right tonight. But there's also a chance that everyone outside of maybe one player falls on their under. So I'm going to go to Javonte Williams under 10.5 attempts. I want to go to Audric Estime under on rushing. I want to go to maybe Jaleel McLaughlin for an anytime touchdown, just based on the odds.
Vecchio, you've been on fire with the anytime TD props, players to hit Pater throughout the entirety of this NFL season. Shortest number tonight, Ladd McConkey, plus 135. Javonte Williams, plus 150, 15 cents in front of his fellow Bronco in terms of Courtland Sutton. Again, you see what their receiving yards props are for some of those top targets. We're not expecting a ton of points. The over-under is 41 in a hook. If you had to look to one of the skill position players to hit Pater, who might get a couple of bucks?
So I always have a little bit of an issue going to top-tier targets after they've scored, and we saw Courtland Sutton and Ladd McConkey both score last week, so I have just like an internal issue about going back to the well after they have scored. I prefer to pick players that haven't scored in a while, as we saw Ladd McConkey and scored in a number of games. That's why he scored last week. I don't want to say maybe not that's why he scored, but again, high-usage player. So I don't mind Stone Smart. I really don't. Good number. He's seeing obviously an increase in usage, especially last week. We can go there. I don't mind going to Vele as well. I think that's where we want to be looking. I haven't dove into the kicker props yet, but I think that's where I might actually have to go, just because that's what we be seeing tonight. So kickers, some defense, a random tight end scoring, as we've seen on traditional Thursday night games. I think that's what we're in for tonight.
Listen, we could see a lot of defensive props as well. Justin Herbert, not exactly fully mobile within the pocket, has been sacked at least 3 times in each of the last 4 games for the Colts. Nick Bonito having a great year, minus 130 to record a sack tonight. Tom Vecchio, TV Tom of the Sports Grid Network. We appreciate the time on this Thursday as always.
Of course, I'll see you guys later tonight for the pregame show, halftime show, postgame show.
Listen, he's a one-man band nowadays, folks, except for the pregame aspect. But Tom Vecchio doing some great coverage later in the night to get you set for Week 16 and the start on this Thursday. Tom, as always, thank you. More on Thursday Night Football next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You got the prop perspective for the start of Week 16 and Thursday Night Football tonight in Los Angeles from Sports Grid's Tom Vecchio. Now it's time for Donnie Wrightside's thoughts of Sports Grid, Ben Stevens, also of Sports Grid, to break down Thursday Night Football. Did you even hear that? I think you did hear
it. I did.
You never know, though.
I heard it.
Okay.
We're ready. I can't believe we have to talk about this game like it's a Super Bowl this morning. My goodness. How many segments we spend on this game? Talking about Jaleel McLaughlin. Talk about Jaleel McLaughlin, who's not even going to play tonight. I mean, what is going on in this game? Come on, let's go.
What? Okay, so if you could have crafted the rundown, which you could have a say if you really wanted one, if you could have crafted the rundown in pre-production, not at the very end of the show in your final segment, what would you have rather talked about a little bit more than this Thursday Night Football game?
I probably would have had like videos of the best of 2024 on the early line. So we had like complete segments just to like skip towards and, you know, have a happy holiday season out here in the streets. See that? I'm already thinking on my
feet. No doubt. Early trip for Donnie Wrightside to get the studio for NFL football in game live game day. No Diego Pavia battling the courts to come back to Vanderbilt. No Michigan Tech, the D2 powerhouse, upsetting UW Green Bay yesterday in Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Yeah, by the way, who would ever go to Green Bay to play basketball? I mean, let's get that. How about that for a topic for the next couple of minutes? Like, hey, where are you going to play ball, Wisconsin? Oh, awesome. No, Green Bay. Ooh, tough scene. Tough scene.
Or coach at Green Bay, especially if you wanted to talk into a microphone still.
And a radio show.
Hey, that's neither. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Neither here nor there. Also, I just got to make one final point because everybody bagged on Doug Gottlieb yesterday. I don't know if he listens to the Sports Grid Network. He once replied to a tweet of mine where I was critical of him. I just would like to say this. If you are going to still do the content, then do the content. Never would you get better ratings on your national radio show than in the immediate aftermath of a matinee matchup in which you lost to a D2 team as a 9.5-point home favorite. Like, if you're still going to uphold the radio show, then give the people what they want. There is no doubt that if Donnie Wrightside went back to be the head football coach of his alma mater in Wayne, New Jersey, WP, William Patterson, but still hosted the early line or at least the money line, the Monday reaction show to Donnie Wrightside coughing up a big game against Sacred Heart would be monumental ratings.
No, it would be. Like, he doesn't lean, like, because when Deion went to Colorado, he leaned into everything. That was a team that was terrible at one win, but he goes, you know what?
Yeah.
Everything on camera, everything out in the open. I'm going to get hate. I'm going to get love, but I think I can turn this around. And now you're seeing the fruits of the labor where he's got Heisman Trophy winners, number one players going in the draft. He's making bowls now. He's getting players out of the portal. Like, it works both ways where the ratings would be great. Like, yes, you're not tuning in to hear Doug Gottlieb talk about, you know, the Los Angeles Chargers. You want to hear him be like, oh, man. My shooting guard, terrible. Anybody out there wants to play shooting guard, hit me up in the portal. Like, that would be an amazing radio show at this point.
Listen, players have their podcasts. Doug, as a head coach, could just do the same. You don't need his hot take on a Thursday night football game where he probably thinks it's the Super Bowl tonight in SoFi.
Yep.
Meanwhile, we just burned 5 minutes of great conversation. That's what you do.
Sports
Talk. By the way, Deion's hosting a talk show as well. So now that we don't have all that much time, DRS. Yeah, I haven't seen the actual show. Now that we don't have all that much time before we send you to the money line, 2.5-point spread in favor of the Chargers. Total at 41.5. You have shared you think this game is an under tonight. If you had to bet a side, which you will not, you would probably lean with the Broncos at least getting a few points. Close, competitive, low scoring. What would be your best bet of the night? That could include props as well.
Yeah, probably the under 41.5, which yesterday was 42.5, so moving in the right direction. I don't think we get a ton of points, but if we are just looking at one, like, again, it's hard to pick out the touchdown props because, once again, we're not in the 50s or 55 points. We're like, hey, we're getting 6, 7, 8 touchdowns possibly in this game, but it still is like secondary options. So I think Ladd McConkey has a good game, Courtland Sutton, yes, but the one Quentin Johnston over the past 2 weeks here, even though he has these struggles, you know, over the last month, he's getting a lot of targets, and I believe he has 10 combined catches over the past 2 games. You look at that prop of 39.5. If you are the Denver Broncos and you come into this game, what are you saying to yourself? Well, we can't let Ladd McConkey beat us. So somebody else has to get targets. Quentin Johnston's going to get those targets. That's the guy I probably would look towards with a simple low number to get himself into the 40s. I think that's possible for him tonight. But again, not a lot to love in this game. But if you are looking at some secondary options, Quentin Johnston would be my guy.
Any safe bet parlays that would pay out around plus 125 that people are desiring or no?
Yeah, it's tough because, again, you are looking at some ultra low numbers. But if we're listening to people out there that continuously get in your DMs and tell you the over in San Francisco, LA is the best part of that game, you can't listen to those people out there. You gotta have the horse blinders on and say, here's what's going to win tonight, not what some other people think, you know?
Listen, the only game this NFL season without a single touchdown by either team.
Like, tough how do you get that over?
Tough to bet the over in that football game. So Tom Vecchio, formerly a Courtland Sutton guy, not all that into Courtland Sutton tonight. But Donnie, I'm kind of into Bo Nix's numbers at 223.5. And thus, if Bo even flirts with that, in my estimation, Courtland Sutton goes over what a minimal prop is by his standards at 62 and a hook. A number that prior to last week, where he still had 9 targets, by the way, in a game that Bo Nix threw for 130 total yards, he only ended up with 32 and a touchdown. Prior to last week, six consecutive games for Sutton of at least 70 receiving yards and at least six grabs. I like Courtland Sutton over the number tonight because although the Chargers are one of the best defenses in the NFL, they have not been as elite in the last 4 weeks or so.
Yeah, process of elimination, right? If you're going to lose a bet on Courtland Sutton because he got 11 targets but didn't get over 62 and a half yards, you live with that here. The ones you can't live with are if you do go Stone Smart, who might have a good game, like, hey, over 30 and a half. Well, he had one catch for 6 yards. That was his only target. Those ones are the tough ones to swallow where you outsmart yourself. Get that here? I don't think you can outsmart yourself on McConkey and Sutton and guys up at the top of the charts.
Yeah, I completely agree. I also like Courtland Sutton to score a touchdown at plus 165. I'm not even sure where the anytime touchdown prop margins are on this evening. That I do not know. What I do know is DRS has to go to host the Moneyline, and then you'll see him later tonight, NFL football in-game live, game day. DRS, until we talk next week, more on the early line next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on the early line on Sports Grid. There is so much, of course, starting this week, throughout the holiday weekend, through next week, that is Christmas. We've got so much good football. And we've only got a few final days before a holiday break in college basketball with a Wednesday night that we'll look back on in just a moment. But again, when we get here tomorrow for a Football Friday on the early line, of course, we will preview every single game for the weekend, our doubleheader on Saturday, our full Sunday slate as well. I believe there's only one Monday night football game, so that should be 14 games for us to break down, preview, and give you out some winning wagers for. But tomorrow will feel historic. Tomorrow will feel ceremonious, perhaps. It is the first ever 12-team college football playoff with the first ever on-campus playoff game in the history of this sport. Never before in college football has this large of a field, has this many teams had the opportunity to contend for a national championship in the postseason with this many games that it will take you to win to be crowned a national champ. So when you go to bed tonight and you wake up on a game day for the college football playoff in the in-state showdown between Notre Dame and Indiana, know that you are waking up on a historic Football Friday, a historic college football Friday, one that I have lost sleep thinking about in giddy excitement, one that I often stare off into space, and it dawns on me that the Indiana football program will play in the first ever 12-team college football playoff game. Do not think it's been discussed nearly enough. All right, back to college basketball in some of the scores last night. We talked about the huge game in the Jumpman Invitational, top 25 tilt between number 14 Oklahoma and number 24 Michigan. Jeremiah Fears, whose older brother Jeremy plays at Michigan State, so he understands that rivalry, and you want to always knock off the maize and blue. He did that last night for OU, a 30-point performance for the outstanding freshman, one of the best in the Big 12, one of the best in the country in a season that very well could be defined by freshman performances around the sport of men's college basketball. Jeremiah Fears delivers that 4-point play with just over 10 seconds remaining for that victory. OU wins outright as a 4.5-point dog. Oklahoma remains undefeated, a perfect 11-0. One of four teams, just one of four teams around the country that is still unblemished. Oklahoma, Florida, and Tennessee. Those three teams all ranked inside the top 15 of the AP poll. Who's that fourth? The Drake Bulldogs, led behind Ben McCollum in his first year as the head coach of this Drake program. All Ben McCollum did in 15 years at Northwest Missouri State, D2 powerhouse, was win 81% of his games in four national championships. And he has Drake perfect 10-0. Rank the Bulldogs, you cowards. I think the AP poll will do that next week. Other scores from last night. Alabama. And shout out to Nate Oates. Quickly also shout out to Dusty May. Eighth game last night for Michigan against a power conference foe. Alabama has played a ton of power conference foes and on the road. They went to Mackey earlier this year. Last night they headed out to North Dakota to take on the Hawks. And what a game it was. Tested by Nodak last night, but Alabama did survive 97-90. Great game for Grant Nelson. Very cool. The native of North Dakota that started his college basketball career at NDSU. That's North Dakota State. But how about Trayson Eagelstaff? 40-point performance on the Crimson Tide that included eight made threes. Big East play for a lot of teams underway this week. Marquette beat Butler by double digits. Did not cover. UConn had to survive Xavier in overtime. Did not cover, but five straight wins for Dan Hurley's Huskies. Memphis beats Virginia in a tight game in Charlottesville. We talked about Doug Gottlieb and his Green Bay team, losers of eight straight, got beat as a 9.5-point home favorite against Michigan Tech yesterday. Huge win for Georgetown over Creighton to start off Big East play in year number two in the nation's capital under Ed Cooley. We've already had some bowl games this week. Memphis knocked off West Virginia in a highly competitive and fun Frisco Bowl. JMU, double-digit win. UNLV, what a season it was. Georgia Southern. In the passing attack of Clay Helton against Sam Houston State, a 9-win team this year with a new head coach on the horizon, Phil Longo today. That's the New Orleans Bowl. Again, Georgia Southern, 4.5-point favorite. A historic and monumental football Friday awaits you tomorrow on the Early Line.